I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. Lord, what do those words, if we're honest with ourselves, mean to us today? And as we look at your passage, as we look at this hymn, may the words go to a deep place in our hearts and in our lives. And I pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. I love, and I know many others do as well, the stories behind the hymns that we sing. And over these last number of years, at different points, we have looked at many hymns and the motivation behind them. Now, I've got to be honest, I didn't set out this week to actually tell the story of a hymn. But as I began my sermon preparation this week, and as I was thinking about choosing the hymns, this hymn very strongly came to mind. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. And as I was preparing, I came across the story that challenged me, spoke to me, encouraged me and inspired me, as well as giving a living example to what Jesus is teaching and talking about in the passage that was read a few moments ago from John chapter 6. So before we come to the story of the hymn, let me for a few moments bring us through John chapter 6. So if you have the weekly sheet or the pew Bible before you, now would be a good time to turn for a few moments. As we recap from last week, we know that Jesus has been out and about teaching, preaching, healing, and generally underlying through his words and his deeds and his actions, who he is. Someone extraordinary. Someone who we know is the Son of God. Someone who can even go beyond the human confines of our physical nature. And in this chapter, which covers about 2 days, Jesus has fed the 5,000, the miracle. And last week, we read the account of Jesus walking on the water. Well, as we pick up at the end of this chapter now, Jesus is in the synagogue, we are told, and he has been teaching the people. Actually, Jesus has been confronting and being very blunt with the people that are listening to him. And this is what he's been telling them. He has been telling them that really they are only following him because they want fed physically, they want to be entertained, or they want some other physical need met. He's telling them they're not really interested in who he really is or what he really offers. He offers life. Jesus is the only one who offers eternal life. He offers spiritual feeding, and as he says himself, he offers a way to God, the only way for us and for those listening to know God. So Jesus has been pretty blunt in this moment and in this passage of Scripture. And as we pick up on our passage from verse 60, please follow along. Many of those who have been following Jesus realize exactly what he is saying. And what Jesus is saying is this, that following him is a call to total commitment. It's a hard call. And essentially, they don't like what Jesus is saying. What do they say about the truth? The truth often hurts. So Jesus challenges them. And indeed, as we will hear and read in verse 61, he offends them. What does Jesus say in verse 61? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you?" And over the next 4 verses, Jesus continues to push. And what is the result? Read with me verse 66 and following. It says, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. The disciples in this instance would be more than just the 12, those who had been part of that traveling party. And here's the thing, what Jesus was asking of them was too much. He wanted total commitment. He wanted them to change their lives, to change their priorities, to change their focus, to drop everything and to follow him. And what was the result? Many turned away and no longer followed him. And as we finish the passage, Jesus then turns to the inner circle, the 12, whom he has perfectly chosen. And he gives them a way out as well. Verse 67, you do not want to leave too, do you? The perfect opportunity for some of them to say, not for me. I didn't realize what I was getting into. And then we get this lovely answer from Simon Peter that we presume he is speaking for the rest. In verse 68 and 69, again, what does Simon Peter say? He says, Lord, to whom else shall we go? In other words, there is no one else who makes the claims that you make. You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. They have watched, they have followed, they have observed, they have seen, they have spent time with Jesus. And in that moment, Simon Peter speaks for them all. To whom else can we go? Who else offers what you offer, Jesus? You are the one that we have come to believe is who he says he is, the Holy One of God. And it seems the rest agree. But at the end of the passage, we're left with a little sting in the tail, aren't we? Because Jesus knows that there is one who is not fully committed, who has already been led away by the devil. And he says in verse 70 and 71, one of you is the devil, Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who, though one of the 12, was later to betray him. And that's a whole other sermon, but it shows still, even in the inner circle of Jesus, there are some who are not confessing who they say they are. So what's the application of this passage today? Well, for me, it's quite straightforward for us hearing it today. And it's this. One of the important parts of any Christian community, or any church community, is an opportunity to search and to seek, to find out, to explore, to take time to consider who Jesus is. But I think in this passage, there comes a moment, it underlines, to decide. To decide on who Jesus is for each of us. Is he someone whom we have a passing relationship with? We might engage in a Sunday morning. We might look to get something out of him in a moment of need. But that's all. Jesus means little more than that. Or, on the other side of the decision, is Jesus who he says he is? Is he the Lord and Saviour of our lives? Is Jesus the only one for us who brings us to God, who brings us and offers eternal life, forgiveness, and reassures us? Is Jesus who he says he is? And do we believe that he is the Lord and Saviour of our lives? So as we weigh up this passage, let me turn to the hymn that we started with and sang before this sermon. I hope as I share its story that it will connect with you, it will challenge you, it will encourage you, and it will inspire you to decide today who Jesus is for you. Well, the words and the melody of the hymn originate in northeast India, in a region called the Assam region, which was comprised of hundreds of primitive and aggressive tribes. And it's into this hostile and aggressive community that a group of Welsh missionaries came about 150 years ago. They spread the message of love and peace and the hope of Jesus Christ, that he was the one who offered eternal life. And naturally, as you can imagine, in that hostile environment, they weren't welcomed. But one Welsh missionary succeeded in converting a man, his wife, and his two children. This man's faith proved contagious, and many of the villagers began to be convinced of who Jesus was and decided to follow and to accept Christianity. The problem was, this angered the village chief. He summoned all the villagers together and he called out, in an act of public humiliation, the family who had first converted to Christianity. He wanted them to renounce their faith in public or to face execution. And so he took the two children aside and he threatened the man and said to him, "If you don't renounce your faith in Jesus, they will be killed." And the man began to sing these words, "I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back." The children were brutally murdered, shot by arrows. Enraged, the chief asked, "Will you deny your faith? You have lost both your children, and you now lose your wife." And the man began to sing, "Though no one joins me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back." The chief was beside himself with fury. And like with the children, he ordered his wife to be arrowed down. She was murdered. And then finally, the chief one last time said to him, "I will give you one more opportunity to deny your faith and to live." And in the face of death, the man sang the final memorable lines, "The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back." And he was shot, like the rest of the family. But that's not the end of the story. As he stood firm in his belief in Jesus, a miracle took place. The chief who had ordered the killing was moved by the faith of the man. He wondered, why should this man, his wife, and his two children die for a man who lived far away on another continent some 2,000 years ago? There must be some remarkable power behind the family's faith. And I too want to taste that faith for myself. And so in a spontaneous confession of faith, the chief declared, "I too belong to Jesus." And when the crowd heard this from the mouth of their chief, the whole village accepted Christ as their Lord and their Savior. The story is an extreme example, I know. We're not going to face that, I would imagine. But it also illustrates for me what Jesus teaches, the call to follow and the call to total commitment. And so as we learn, as we reflect, and as we weigh up today all that we have heard, as we think about our own relationship with Jesus, and I make no apology for saying this, whether it delights or offends, I wonder today, are we assured or offended by what Jesus says, by what this passage teaches? And my honest prayer is that we, as we sing this hymn in a few moments, it will be an opportunity to make that decision for ourselves. To not walk away, to not be passive, but to make that decision to follow Jesus today. To be refreshed in our decision to follow Jesus. No matter what the cost might be for us, no matter what changes might be involved in our lives, the passage reminds us that to be a Christian is never the easy choice. Being a Christian means handing all of our lives over to Jesus. Being a Christian involves a sacrifice, but it also brings much certainty and assurance. Following Jesus is always worth it. And so as we sing this hymn, I simply want to ask each of us again to consider who Jesus is for us, and to be willing to follow him and to give our lives to him, whatever the cost. To take that step and believe and to know. To reflect Simon Peter's answer, which I pray will be all our answers. That we will say these words, I have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. So can I invite us to stand, to sing in a deeper and more prayerful way, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. May that be real for each of us as we sing its words now.